today's news. Hello again, and welcome to Old News, the programme and podcast which looks at some new stories of the day through papers of yesterday. Now, I see the issue of behaviour, the quality of behaviour at school has been back in the news, highlighted by the Children's Champion, with regard to the recent story about school children at Ballacamine not being able to go to the toilet during lesson times, bringing up the whole question then again of vandalism, school behaviour, smoking in the toilets, etc., etc. Is this new? One suspects not, but I thought we'd have a little trawl at the papers to see what was knocking round on this topic of schools, school teachers and behaviour. We look in the Manx Sun of Christmas Eve, 1859. Just starting off, I see a new grammar school, 2 Dalton Street in Douglas, is advertised, the headmaster being one W.M. Pierce Poole, F.A.R.S., formerly of Trinity College in Dublin. The French master, we are told, is a native of Paris and an experienced and successful teacher, but unlike his colleagues, isn't actually given a name, whereas the Italian master is a Mr. Hubert and the German master is a Mr. Hirschfeld. The school fees, well, for a general English education, 10 shillings per term, in advance, Latin and Greek 5 shillings, French 10 shillings, German 10 shillings, drawing 10 shillings. The school books required cost less than 5 shillings and must be paid for in advance. Every pupil is thoroughly grounded in English generally, made to write a hand fit for business, and trained to be quick at accounts. That would be useful these days, wouldn't it? Arithmetic and bookkeeping are thoroughly taught in theory and practice, ditto, and if required, mensuration, Euclid, and mathematics on their applications to the arts and sciences. Pupils are also prepared for matriculation of any of the public examinations. The premises are spacious, well ventilated, and have been fitted with the newest and most approved school furniture, wall maps, etc., etc. The year is divided into 4 terms, each term consisting of 12 weeks. The vacations are 2 weeks at Christmas and midsummer. A quarter's notice must be given previous to the removal of a pupil. The school, we are told, is open to all religious persuasions, and consequently the pupils are taught no peculiar doctrines, but are instructed only in the broad and general principles of Christianity. A special attention is paid to their moral training and conduct. Daily reports of attendance, schoolwork and behaviour are sent to the parents so they can satisfy themselves of their son's progress. Examinations are held at the end of each school term. A few things we might be able to learn from there particularly. Just building a new school would be a good start. Going to Foxdale in 1894, the Manx Sun, the Foxdale National School, and this is the Manx Sun of October the 20th, 1894. The following is a summary of the inspector's report dated September 1894. Boys' school. This school is only in a fair state of general efficiency. Little of the elementary work is good, much of it only fair, some of it below a fair level. The class subjects merit only the lower rate of payment, and the boys are too talkative, restless, and noisy in their movements for the discipline to be considered satisfactory. Singing by note has improved and is now good. Spelling is very poor in the second and third standards. A good classroom would be an improvement. Principal grant, 12 shillings and 6 pence. Discipline and organisation, 1 shilling. And other prices as well. In the girls' school, order and behaviour are excellent, we are told. There is a very pleasing tone throughout the school, and the girls have passed a very satisfactory examination upon the whole. Much of the elementary work is very good, the class subjects have been carefully prepared, needlework is satisfactory, recitation is worthy of special praise, and the singing by note, though rather too loud and coarse, is done well for a first attempt. The weak points in the instruction are spelling in the third standard, handwriting, composition and written arithmetic in the fifth, and mental arithmetic in all standards above the second. A little more desk accommodation is now required. The new cloakroom and lavatory are a decided improvement. The principal grant there, 14 shillings. The infants are now organised and taught as a class of the girls' school and are under the special charge of an assistant teacher who has been here a little over 3 months. This class is in good order and the children have done some of their work creditably, but the instruction generally shows a falling off from the higher level of previous years, and particularly so in the object lessons. Skipping forward quite a bit, actually, to 1950, Tuesday, February the 28th, in the Mona's Herald, Action Against Education Authority, the sequel to Conquer Game in Train. Now, this did actually have a very serious outcome, albeit, are Conkers still played? The safest place in the world at the present time is an Isle of Man Railway Company carriage, declared the secretary and manager of the company, Mr. A.M. Sheard, giving evidence at the third day's hearing before Deemster W.P. Cowley in the High Court of a suit brought by a 14-year-old schoolboy, John Donald Brideson, son of John Joseph Brideson of Holmleigh, Glenmay, against the Education Authority. The boy claimed damages for the loss of the sight of his right eye, which he alleged was injured by a conker when he was travelling from Peel to Douglas in a school train in September 1947. He also alleged that masters at the Douglas High School had been negligent by failing to see that he got medical attention on arrival at the school. Mr. J.A. Kane for the plaintiff suggested there had been numerous complaints to the headmaster of the school about the behaviour of schoolchildren on the trains, but he said that from the time the boy was sent to the school clinic on the afternoon of the accident, there was no complaint about his treatment. Mr. E.W. Farger for the authority consented that a verdict for the plaintiff would open the door to claims from all injuries received by children in and about the school and travelling to and from school. Masters at the school stated they had no recollection of the boy reporting the incident or being ill. Hubert L. Fletcher, Director of Education, said that prior to the accident, the company had written to him suggesting the appointment of prefects on the train, and he had written to the headmaster of the three secondary schools to that effect. He knew nothing about a letter to the then headmaster, Mr. A. H. Sykes, which Mr. William Victor Howe of Foxdale had previously stated he had written complaining about the conduct of children. Mr. Sheard said the railway company's complaint had been that windows were broken, cushions cut, and holes bored in the partitions, but he added, the children are generally well behaved. The company dropped their request for the appointment of prefects. I do not believe in giving children that snooping duty, he concluded. In 1953, the Isle of Man Times, Saturday, June the 27th, High School Boys' Behaviour, Higher Education Committee to hold an inquiry. Criticisms expressed in Timbald of the slovenly deportment and behaviour of Douglas High School boys, including the description of their attendance at a recent coronation parade as resembling a rabble going to a riot, was referred to at a meeting of the Education Authority on Wednesday. Mrs. Kermode said that the following statement had been issued after a special meeting of the committee. The committee view with concern the sweeping, damaging statements made in Timbald debates in connection with the behaviour of Douglas High School boys and intend to hold a full inquiry into the charges made. She stated that the committee would report on the matter to the authority and there would be an opportunity for discussion and debate later. In the meantime, the chairman, Mr. W. E. Kelly, stated that no debate would be allowed on the matter. Debates, committees and inquiries eating up countless hours of time for at least the last 70-plus years, probably hundreds of years before that. A much more serious issue with regards to behaviour of a schoolboy was reported in the Isle of Man Times of Friday, October the 3rd, 1958. A headmaster threatened by a schoolboy, I'll stick a knife in you. The 14-year-old sent to an improved school. I'll stick a knife in your back some dark night. With these words, a 14-and-a-half-year-old youth threatened his headmaster when he was about to be caned for antisocial behaviour in the school. The headmaster, Mr. J.R. Smith of Castle Rushen High School, told Castletown Juvenile Court he tried to help the boy, but he had rejected all offers and there were constant complaints about his behaviour. He was charged with breaking his recognizance on September the 22nd after being placed on probation for 2 years on December the 7th, 1957. The probation officer said the boy should be sent away for training. Announcing the decision of the bench, Dr. Ella Klukas, the chairman, said, we feel the only thing we can do is send you to an approved school. It will give you a real chance to improve with proper discipline and regular hours and give you a chance to be trained properly to earn a living. In addition, the father has to forfeit the £5 surety for his recognizance. It then goes on to report how staff had made lots of complaints, constant complaints from staff about the boy's conduct. He'd been caned several times and been warned repeatedly. When asked what he wanted to do, he always said, I don't know, and it's claimed the boy wielded a bad influence on the other boys. The boy told the bench he had nothing to say and agreed with what had been said. Answering members of the bench, the headmaster said the boy had made no effort to work and had sunk lower and lower, yet he could do far better with his ability. The boy had three previous convictions for breaking and entering and larceny, two in 1955 and one in the previous year. Mr. E.R. Alderson stressed the boy could be sentenced for the last offence. The parents were separated and about to divorce, and he stayed with both of them, sort of playing one off against the other. Neither had legal custody of him. He won't take advice at all. We feel he should be removed from the school and sent away for training. The boy's father said his wife had left him and his son refused to go with her, but once when he was about to chastise him, he ran away and stayed with her 3 weeks. Then he returned saying he was fed up being shouted at and the boy was still with him. The head, meanwhile, said he'd taken a personal interest in the boy and seen the father twice but was very concerned about the strong antisocial behaviour. I would have done my very best, he said, if he was prepared to listen. A sad tale, that one, I think still echoed many times in modern news. Finally, we'll return to the Mona's Herald of Wednesday, August the 16th, 1905, just to prove that sometimes it might be the staff who go AWOL rather than the students. The extraordinary conduct of Mr. Coogan, the headmaster of Foxdale School, in leaving his post for a considerable period without any specific reason, seems to be the height of folly on the part of a young man just launching forth on his scholastic career, it's reported. As the responsible head of the school, his quixotic behaviour will not be a good example for the younger members of the school staff, and his meaningless action has doubtless dismayed and enraged the members of the Foxdale School Board, who, to use his own expression, have always been courteous and kind in their dealings. That the headmaster, in quotes, should wilfully desert his duties, disport himself elsewhere for about 3 weeks, and then return only to give his 3 months' notice of resignation, is not what we should expect from an individual belonging to an honourable profession. I like to think teaching is still an honourable profession, although perhaps we don't regard it as highly as we once did. Suffice to say, I think we can say very safely, behaviour in schools of students and perhaps even at times of the staff is news now and has been news in the past. It is, of course, old news. Until next week, same time on Sunday. Cheerio. You're gonna be yesterday's news.